And thank you, Trish, for being willing to talk to us about prayer. If you don't know this, Trish is a great prayer warrior. And we talked about having a talk about prayer, and I thought, oh, Trish, for sure she must do it. But I wasn't sure if she would agree, and she did, and I'm so grateful. So here she comes, Trish Miller, and I am resetting the phone.
Thank you. I told someone recently I would never do this. there you go. But on Saturday, I just finished the polishing off my talk, and I was just typing in the words, "In everything, give thanks," and my computer crashed. And I lost the whole thing. There you go. Good thing I kept my notes. And it was also one of those days where, you know, somebody bangs your door in the parking lot, and a big can fell out of the cupboard and hit my big toe, you know. So, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God. So, when I was 17, I was a nanny for a young family with three little boys, a three-year-old and two twins who were 18 months. The parents were a little bit irresponsible, let's just say that. One morning, when I would go from 7:30 in the morning until 7:30 at night. And I was paid the grand wage of $1.25 an hour. And so one morning when I got there, there was Billy, the three-year-old, sitting up on the kitchen counter eating butter with a butcher knife. And after I had heart failure, I proceeded to say, you know, there's better ways to eat butter. You might enjoy it more on toast and using a case knife, you know. So, but why do I tell you this story? I tell you because prayer is not just one ingredient. And if you take butter, for instance, you can make a lot of fabulous things with it. But to just eat it by itself, it doesn't really stand alone too well. Kind of hard to get down. But prayer has so many ingredients to it. If I could use another illustration, it's like a multifaceted diamond that has so many wonderful things. And it's also like an ocean. It's full of adoration and thanksgiving and confession and perseverance and fervency and passion. And I came to myself a long time ago realizing that what was I missing in my prayer life? I was thanking God for the food and maybe God bless Billy and the twins, but that was about it. I was really struggling in my prayer life, and I'm so glad you talked last month about reading your Bible, because that's what really, one of the big things that turned me around in my prayer life was a Bible plan. And I know that might sound kind of like common sense, but when I was a little girl, my Sunday school teacher said to the class one time, "A chapter a day will keep the devil away." And I was like, whoa, she didn't know what she was saying to a little six-year-old girl who was, I just spent the whole year sickly. I missed the whole year of kindergarten. And I'm coming into the Sunday school class, and I'm kind of a scaredy cat anyway. And she's telling, "A chapter a day will keep the devil away." So I was okay. And that's how I got started reading my Bible when I was a little girl. It was because, fortunately, I outgrew that, even though for a long time I would get in bed, realize, oh no, I hadn't read my Bible. And I would grab the flashlight, hide under my covers because it was lights out, and I would read my chapter and just open the Bible at random and read a chapter because I didn't want the devil to get me. And prayer in growing up had that philosophy too of like, be sure you confess all your sins before you go to bed, because if you don't wake up, you know, then where are you going to go if your sins aren't confessed? And so I had this kind of bad theology, but fortunately, moving here, and like Sarah said, being part of this community, it was a wonderful, beautiful thing. Everything just kind of came together. Not that I learned everything at once, but I started a Bible plan. We were in Bible studies. We had a good church, and we had Logos to send our kids to. And so it was like a complete package. And my Bible plan for the last 25 years or so has included the Old Testament once, the New Testament and Psalms twice, and Proverbs 12 times. And it's the scripture says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by him. So this Bible plan is kind of like the foundation. It's like seeing a big fountain spring up out of the earth. If you have something to draw from, your prayers are going to spring out. And when I was reading the scripture, one verse stood out to me. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understands and knows me, and I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. So we live in a very educated community, but God is telling us here we can be super smart and educated, but don't glory in that. You can be mighty and powerful and strong. You can be super fit and exercise, but don't glory in that. You can be rich and wealthy and have lots of money to spend, but we don't glory in that either. What we glory in is knowing the Lord. And how do we get to know him? But by reading the scripture. And then when the scripture is saturated within us, when we're marinated in it, if I can use another food term, then we have something to spring out towards the Lord. And have you noticed that our God always does things in a really big way? You look at the earth with mountains and lakes and trees and forests and the Palouse, and you look at fruit and vegetables, there's tons of varieties and tons of shapes and sizes. And you look at flowers, and you look at children and people, everything is just varied and big and beautiful. And that's the way prayer is. It is just it's not just thank you Lord for the food and moving on. So I think the Word of God made me realize that what I was searching for was right here. It was full of adoration. It was full of thanksgiving. It was full of joy and full of a godly prayer is full of holiness. It's fervent. It's passionate. And even in our grief, which might be overwhelming us at times, or our trials, we can be assured that God teaches us even how to pray in that. And so the second thing I believe that really helped me in my prayer life was keeping a prayer journal. And that, of course, started out weirdly as that singles list that people keep talking about. And I was just listing all these people that I thought, boy, they need to get married. And where are all the guys anyway? And so I just started making this list. And then, you know, you can make a list, by the way, and invite them to dinner, but you can't make them fall in love, right? only God can do that. So anyway, as all these people started getting married, and then suddenly there was this baby list, because some of these people, okay, now we're married and we want babies, and that's not happening. So where are the babies? So there became this baby list. And of course, a list. Then the journal became like the sick and all the prayer requests that came through church. And now that I've had this prayer journal for about 10 years, I think it's really a blessing to look back on that prayer journal over the years and see how many prayers God has answered. And I really love this verse in Malachi. It says, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often to one another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serves him." So we should always remember and speak often to one another. Remember how God answered that prayer, and look what God did. Isn't that amazing? And we should never, ever forget his wonderful answers to prayer to us. My only regret is that I never started one when I was a child, and I never had my children start one. So that might be an idea for you, to just keep track of all the wonderful things that God has done for us. Another thing that really helped me in my prayer life over the years is deliberately thanking God for all things, like I said before. One thing that was really hard for me when I first moved up here, I'm an Arizona girl, and you can take the girl out of Arizona, but it's really hard to take the Arizona out of the girl. And so the weather was really hard for me. I know that sounds probably really trivial, but I was so used to just sunshine all the time. But I remember Nancy telling me one time, let's, you know, keep thanking God for the weather because he is sovereign, right? And I said, it was like a revelation. Oh yeah, thank God for the weather because he is sovereign. And that made all the difference to me in the world, living up here. And it's just an encouragement to you, as you know, we look forward to another winter. And I don't, those Facebook posts complaining about the weather are kind of, well, they're ungrateful, I guess. So just, anyway, that was only one illustration about thanking God for all things. Even the bad things in our lives, I think God says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." When I was talking to one lady about this, she said, you know, it's sort of like taking out a splinter. And I said, how so? She said, well, you take it out, you might be sore for a while, but then it can start to heal, and you know, it doesn't feel so bad after a while. I said, you're kind of right. That's a good way to describe it. When we thank God deliberately for all things, even the bad things, it takes the soreness out, and we can start to heal from then on. Another big thing that is not talked about very often, but has helped me in my prayer life, and I'm not an expert in it by any means, but it is fasting and praying. I know there's a big craze out right now. Is it called intermittent fasting or something like that? But that's not the kind of fasting I'm talking about. It's the fast that the Lord chooses, and it's written about in Isaiah 58. And if I could just read you part of this, the people there are complaining about, hey, we fasted, but you haven't done anything about it, Lord. What's the problem? And this says, wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Where have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast you find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head in a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to deal bread to the hungry, and thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou shalt cover him, and thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth in the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rear reward. And thou shalt call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and not speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that of thee that shall build the old waste places, thou shalt raise up the foundation of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy own pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thy own ways, not finding thy own pleasures, nor speaking thy own words, then thou shalt delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. I really love that pleasure, that passage in Isaiah, and I would like to be one of those watered gardens he talks about there. The New Testament talks a bit about fasting, and it's not if you fast, but when you fast. And so it says in Matthew 6, when you fast, don't be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance. Anoint thy head and wash thy face unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father shall reward you openly. So we're not to go around and post on Facebook, hey, I'm fasting and praying today. No, we just go about our business and fast unto the Lord, and He will reward us. I know it's probably common sense to say this, but if you're pregnant or nursing or you have some sort of health issue, this is not for you. But let it be the fast that God chooses. And we certainly have a lot of wickedness going on in the world today. We have a lot of heavy burdens. And I know myself, if you have a heavy burden or you're overwhelmed with some sin, or you see someone else struggling in a very dire situation, that's maybe it's a very naughty problem that it seems like no one can figure out this problem, then I think there is a good cause to fast and pray before the Lord. We are really good at feasting in our community, and we all love it, and we should enjoy it to the max and enjoy one another's company. But I also think there is a time to fast and pray. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all that ye labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And Isaiah was talking about a yoke of wickedness, but we have the really easy yoke, and that's the yoke we receive from Christ. His yoke is easy and His yoke is light. It reminds me of Pilgrim's Progress when he finally let off his burden and he was free. And I hope you will just think about that. Maybe if you have a problem that cannot really be easily solved, or if you're overwhelmed in some way, think about fasting and praying. Some godly examples that I've also found in Scripture that have always intrigued me are when God talks about those who walk with Him, and He's very pleased with them, and they talk to Him face to face as a man speaks to his friend. They are called the friend of God. They're the man after His own heart. Who are these people, and how can we be like them? Well, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. He pleased God. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God. And the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. Abraham believed the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. And in Daniel's chapter 9 and 9, it's referred to Daniel as, O man, greatly beloved. Elijah is referred to like one of these people in James chapter 5. He is a man that was fervent in prayer. And I think the more we read about these people and the more that we incorporate Scripture and we saturate ourselves with the Scripture, we are able to pray with understanding, with wisdom, and we will be able to call upon the Lord and He will answer us. We are walking with God. And this path is not static. It keeps on going. So there's a book that by Andrew Murray. It's called With Christ in the School of Prayer. And I think it's a really good phrase. All of us are on a path until the day we die, and we are in with Christ in the school of prayer. Some of us are just starting out in preschool, and some of us are going ahead to elementary school and so on and so forth. And it seems like there's a ways to go, and that will always be like that. You always seem like there's a ways to go when it comes to praying. And it can be overwhelming because the scripture has so much to say about it. Always thank God, always pray without ceasing, be fervent in your prayer. The effectual fervent prayer avails much, but how do we do it? How do we get there? And we can only get there by the grace of God and by obeying his commandments. And Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then ask whatever you will. Here's this bigness of God again in prayer. There's so many scriptures. I wrote them all out, and I have references for them, but I will just read some of them, and you can get this feeling of bigness that God is there, and he wants to make your joy full as you pray. And as Paul said, do exceedingly abundantly than we could ever ask or think. The Gospels say, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock, it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds. We are familiar with the verse because we sing this song. What man is there of whom of his son ask him for bread? Will he give him a stone? If you ask him for a fish, will you give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatever you would that man do to you, do you even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. And as I said before, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will. It will be done for you. Whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. And I could just go on and on. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then you shall call upon me, and you shall go and pray to me, and I will hearken to you, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and to find grace in time of need. So how do we get this sort of faith? Well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We always come back to the word of God, and that is the key. Saturate yourself in the word of God, and he will teach you to pray. We are very familiar with the disciples saying, Lord, teach us to pray, and then he gives them the prayer, and it's a very short prayer if you think about it, because we're also commanded not to pray with vain repetition. And we've all known people who say the Lord's name 50 times in their prayer, and you don't want to do that. So you want your prayers to be concise, and use wisdom as you pray, and make sure you have no sin as you pray, because the scripture says, if you regard iniquity in your heart, I will not hear you. Two stories really stand out to me that I only have time to tell you about today, And that is when Jesus and his mother went to the marriage in Canaan. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, "They have no wine." Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, what do I have to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." His mother said unto the servants, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." And I've always been fascinated with this story because it seemed like he kind of put her off there. But all she said, "Well, whatever he says, just do it." And so what did they do? They filled those big crocks of stone, I believe, filled to the brim with water, and they became wine. And I think that's a good story to ponder as far as perseverance goes. Another one that is my favorite is a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, "Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." And she answered and said to him, "Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs." And he said to her, "For this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter." And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. I really think this story is remarkable because she did not take offense, even though he said, "It's not meet for me to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." If you said something like this today, there would be a lot of people offended, wouldn't there? We see that quite often on the internet these days. But she was not offended. What did she do? She humbled herself even more, and she said, "Yes, Lord." Okay, I told myself I wasn't going to do that. But we can pray this prayer to the Lord often. I also like to pray scripture. I love Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 3. And you can just insert your loved one's name in there. It's a great prayer for your loved ones, and I suppose even your enemies, because our enemies need prayer as well, and we are commanded to pray for them. "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you," and I insert their name right here, "according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith, that you would be rooted and grounded in love and may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you would be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, unto him be glory in the church, Christ Jesus, throughout all the ages, world without end. Amen." That's quite a prayer. And when you pray this prayer for people, there's not much room for hatred or fighting or strife. It's too full for that. I'll just finish up because I need to finish up. My favorite books lately, when it comes to prayer, or this is this little handbook to prayer by Kenneth Boas. Sorry. It's a really handy book if you're just beginning or if you're an old timer too. And it just gives you a really good guideline for your prayer life so you're not finding yourself floating off in la-la land in the middle of your prayer, which happens, especially if you haven't had enough coffee. And, of course, this is a perennial favorite, All Things for Good by Thomas Watson. This has literally saved my life as a Christian. It's a wonderful book. I really love, of course, I'm a Thomas Watson fan, but I really love this book, The Godly Man's Picture. He has a whole chapter on there on prayer. And he always has such cryptic remarks to make. Like, prayer is a bomb that blows open the gates of heaven. I mean, he's so great. This is a book that I listen to as I take my walks. With Christ in the School of Prayer by Andrew Murray. He's got 31 lessons, so you can finish it in a month, and it was extremely helpful to me. Of course, I think the Book of Psalms is our greatest book that we have. It's not just a song book, it's a prayer book too. It's got every emotion known to man, every grief that is known to man, and every happiness known to man. And I think sometimes we find ourselves in a bad situation where one psalm says, I feel like a pelican in the wilderness. I'm like an owl in the desert. I'm like a sparrow on a housetop. That's how alone I feel. But he ends the psalm saying, thank you, God, for rescuing me from my affliction. And so let the Psalms be your food and drink. Of course, not just the Psalms, but the whole Word of God. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. And I'll just end by saying, I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my supplications.